In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That's great. Which of the Wet Bandits, Marv or Harry, over the two movies, do you think took more of a physical punishment?
I know that when she was still alive, Marge shot. She was the bag lady in the Lincoln Park, and she got a ton of votes for that.
Okay, that wasn't what I asked.
I answered a bit, but as far as Marv and Harry, probably Harry got more because, I mean, it's Joe Pesci, for crying out loud.
Okay. That's the late list of crimes. You better explain this, Trash Panda.
So, and here, I got, we're bringing Danny Parkins in here. I'm not sure, I'm sure he remembers that, but it's when he had to host an overnight show with Les. Because Danny, what you lost some kind of season-long bet, right, for the afternoon show, and you had to host overnight.
I haven't heard that in years, though. I had forgotten about that particular thing. Good afternoon, Saturday Suckage. It's an honor and a privilege. We did, on the old McNeil and Parkins show, we did our season-long football picks, and we couldn't decide on what the prize should be for the winner, so we basically just decided on what the punishment should be for the loser. And so there was no prize for first place, but between me, Shep, and Mac, whoever finished in last place had to host afternoons, then host with Les, and then host afternoons again the next day. So kind of pull the double dip, and you couldn't take a day off. And Shep and I were both totally fine with it. It really was just, we tried to think of what would be the worst possible punishment for Mac. Because he was like, I'll pay $5,000 to not have to do that. I was like, well, that's hilarious and ridiculous. So, but unfortunately, I lost. And so I had to host with Les. But it turned into a win. We had a great time. But yeah, Marv, Harry, Marge shot. That is amazing.
There you go. So this man who lost that competition is now here to give us his betting insight on the Super Bowl.
Oh, Rosie, it's worse than that, man. last Super Bowl. So I don't know why I do this, but you can either like spread it out or correlate your bets. And I always try to correlate my bets. It's like go big or go home. Like, so I'm trying to like nail the Super Bowl from kickoff to final whistle. And last year, no joke, it's a statistical impossibility. I went 0-13 in my Super Bowl bets.
You couldn't even mistakenly win one?
I lost the coin flip against my wife. Like it was,
wow!
it was amazing. Now, you know, it's not, they weren't all, you know, minus 110, 50-50 bets. You know, some of them were 8-1 long shots or things like that. But yeah, I couldn't, a rushing yardage over under, a passing yardage prop, a coin flip, a length of the national anthem. I couldn't find a winner. It was humiliating.
So then you're due.
That's what I'm saying.
You do. Because that's the way betting works. That's why they put Eiffel Towers on the strip in Las Vegas, because the betting works that way, that you're due. You always get paid back.
That's how I feel about it. So yeah, I think I've got this Super Bowl mail. It was weird, though, because 2019 was the most profitable football season of my life. 2020, I gave like 70% of it back. And then this season was very, very solid. The Packers kind of screwed me, though. And so I've been kind of treading water since the playoffs started. And we're going to go big. We're going to go big for the big game. So I'm ready to go.
All right. We want to hear about that. And Danny Parkins is joining us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is part of the Score's wall-to-wall, ear-to-ear coverage of the Super Bowl tomorrow. BetQL from 9 to 11. Danny Parkins' playoff preview from 11 to 1. And then Westwood One takes it from there until Evan McPherson's game-winning kick at the end of the Super Bowl. So run it down, the straight bets, because I have some prop bets I want to get. I want to know what you've bet on in your props, but I have some other props for you. But as far as just sort of analysis of the game and where you put your money on winners, losers, sides, totals, where are you on that, Danny?
Okay, so I think that it's a terrible matchup for the Bengals. Like, if you were going to draw it up and you'd say their biggest weakness is their offensive line, and the Rams' biggest strength defensively is their defensive line. Like, the Rams are a top three win rate pressure team in terms of when they rush the passer, they beat their man, top three in the NFL, and the Bengals were in the regular season a bottom three protection team in the NFL. So that strikes me as a huge mismatch. And you got Jalen Ramsey, who's willing to try to guard Ja'Marr Chase all over the field. We don't know if he will or not, but he is a difference-making corner. Whether he's on T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase, he should be able to hold the top two guys for Burrow below their season average. So I think it's a terrible matchup for the Bengals. Admittedly, I bet the Titans against the Bengals was wrong. Bet the Chiefs against the Bengals was wrong. So I am going down with the ship. But so how I am playing that is a couple of different ways. I'm going to bet on the Rams to win after four quarters. So this is like a little bit, instead of laying the 4 points, or instead of just taking the money line of -195, if you say they're going to win after four quarters, you can get that down to -175 on the money line. So basically, if the Rams won in overtime, I'd be screwed. But I'm going to say they're going to win in regulation. And at +250, if you say the Rams are going to win both halves, so they win the first half and they win the second half, that pays 2.5 to 1. So I'm on the Rams to win both halves and the Rams to win after four quarters. And I think the game is going to be the Bengals are a very slow starting team so far this season and certainly throughout the playoffs. So I am on the under in the game, and I'm under on Ja'Marr Chase receiving yards in the first half. But I got many more bets, but that's a good place for us to start.
How many bets do you think you'll end up with by kickoff? Because I know, like, I've seen.
Let's find out how many he has now, and we'll see what it increases by kickoff.
Yeah. So I do these videos for Bet Rivers, and I put in, when I was making my video for Friday, they've enjoyed my 10 bets series that I've done throughout the playoffs. And so I put in 10 Super Bowl bets on Friday. And my guess is the pregame show is just so damn long. You know, that's the problem. Like, I got the show from 11 to 1. Inevitably, I'll have, you know, my buddy Ben Heisler on, who does gambling analysis for BetSided. He'll convince me on a bet or two that I haven't played. I'll probably listen to Costos' show before mine. He'll convince me of a bet or two that I haven't considered. And then I'm going to be watching with my brother. He'll have some sort of bet that I want to pile on with just for fun. So my guess is it'll end up being about 15 or so bets this year, in addition to squares and, you know, other forms of degeneracy.
That's actually less than what I was expecting. I was thinking you were going to be up around 30 for
then
some
bet
reason.
The over on Danny's bet.
Yeah, listen, studs, I can always aspire to be better, but the thing is, it's like, since I've started to try to like be a little bit better at this and actually have a little bit of money, I'm just, instead of making more bets, I'm just making bigger bets. Fewer and bigger. Yeah. That's right. Fewer and bigger has been my strategy. And the other thing is, studs, There's no way to know because live betting is such a beautiful thing. Like, it just, they do, you know, you pull up your Bet Rivers app, and not only can you live bet the spread or the total, you can live bet player props now, which was not a thing that existed a couple of years ago. So, like, if Cam Akers has 10 rushing yards in the first half, but the Rams are up big, maybe his player prop total, which right now sits at like 64.5 rushing yards for the game, maybe that number will come down for the second half, but you'll think, oh, they're going to salt away the game by running the football. So you bet an over on a player prop in the second half. That wasn't something you could do a couple of years ago. So, you know, I think at kickoff, I will likely have somewhere around 15 bets. But by the end of the game, who the hell knows?
Danny Parkins joins us on Saturday Suckage. Parkins and Spiegel, the wonderful afternoon show that is both fun and informational, as we are finding out here as well. So how are you on cross sports betting? Because there's a prop out there, the Cooper Cup total receptions in the Super Bowl versus USA gold medals. And those kind of, they gained fame like 25 years ago or so. They gained a lot of notoriety where football versus basketball and whoever it was, you know, yardage versus Shaq and Kobe's points kind of thing. So the bet, the prop bet is which will be higher. And my guess is always Snoop Dogg at this halftime show. But
amen.
Cooper Cup receptions versus U.S. gold medals. Do you get into stuff like that, those cross sports bets?
I've done it before, obviously, but is it something like, I don't really care about the Olympics, and I certainly have no area of expertise on it. Like my thought is basically if there is a way to make money on it, whether I think I have some sort of insight on it, or if a sharp bettor that I follow on Twitter or someone that I know, you know, like I'm on some gambling chats, like group texts and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll just make a bet on a golfer to finish in the top 40 because my buddy says that the data golf site that he pays money to says that there's value there and I'm not even watching the tournament and I'll put in a little bet on it. So like I'm not above making that bet, but I have no interest or particular insight. How's the U.S. doing? Like, is that, because Cooper Kupp's going to have like 10 catches in this game. So
I don't know. I'm not.
Exactly.
I was actually looking at this. As of last night, they had 11 medals and 5 gold, I believe.
So 5 gold. I think that Kupp will have, like I said, around 10 catches. There's plenty of time. See, I have no idea. Who the hell knows? I've watched no minutes of the Olympics.
I'm with you. Well, do you bet on the halftime stuff? Like there's a prop out there of the first song of the halftime show.
Lose Yourself.
California Love is plus 200.
Oh, interesting.
Lose Yourself is plus 650.
So where is that, Rosie?
Well, Bodog.
Okay. So I might need to get an account there because what's happened, so I used to have a Bodog account and then it became Bovada.
Uh-huh.
And then when legalization happened, frankly, those offshore sites, I had no use for them anymore because it's like, it's kind of weird to deposit. It's going to be weird to get your money back. Sometimes they don't have great limits. And just like now with FanDuel, DraftKings, my guys over at Rivers, etc., like there's so many places that you can line shop that it's great. But those sites, like the legal sports books, don't take action on something like that. But between you, me, and the wall, I actually have heard a little bit of inside information that Lose Yourself is going to be the first song.
All right, so. He's got a guy. Look, Danny's got a guy. He's got a guy who's got a guy, and look at you get an inside information here. Call 1-555-5555. Call Big Doug.
Exactly. All right. Hey, man, plus 650, Lose Yourself. If someone out there has an ability to bet on it, I think that's the way to go. Because I mean, Eminem, let's be honest, unbelievably talented, doesn't have a lot of commercially viable songs that you can perform at the halftime show that aren't like unbelievably dark and depressing. Lose Yourself is one of them. So I think Lose Yourself's a good bet there.
I love the breaking it down, and he's got a inside information. I was waiting for you to have metrics attached.
I got no metrics other than Eminem does not have many songs that I could possibly imagine being broadcast to 100 million people. That is one of them. It's a great pump-up song. And I legitimately heard from someone that they said, I know for sure that Lose Yourself is the first song. I have no idea, but someone that I trust says that it's the first song.
Are you a kind of guy that gets in on, like, you know, I know you get in on a lot of different parts of this, but what about the opening kickoff? I heard Horvat talking about this morning, and I've heard several different people talk about this. The kickoff not being a touchback, the opening kickoff not being a touchback. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, of course I have thoughts on that. I have thoughts on everything.
Question. That's my fault. Dumb question.
Is there juice on this? Of course he's got thought.
Yeah, so it used to be that touchback was like a huge positive bet before they changed the kickoff distance. Then it went the other way, that it was like an obvious thing that there was going to be a touchback because people would always want to return an opening kickoff to try to do the Devin Hester, right? But Pat McAfee came out and said that kicking a ball in the Super Bowl is like kicking a rock because the game balls are all like they put like serial numbers on it and they don't get to practice with the actual ball that they'll be kicking within the game. So at the beginning of the game, the game balls are actually like rocks. McPherson is a baller, the kicker on the Bengals, and I don't believe it. So I think that so what I did is I bet first Cincinnati kickoff for a touchback at like -112. So basically even money. So if the Rams end up kicking off, I don't trust Matt Gay as much to be able to boom it through the end zone. So I just decided whenever Cincinnati kicks off first, if it's to start the game, if it's after a score, whatever the case may be, first Cincinnati kickoff for a touchback. That's my angle on that. And if I can, these coaches, offensive wizards, but super conservative in terms of going forward on fourth down and actual game management. They both are big take the points guys. So longest field goal over 47.5 yards feels pretty good to me in this one. McPherson has a huge leg, and Gay, the kicker for the Rams, is kicking at home. So in his home stadium and obviously ideal conditions at SoFi in L.A. So if it's, you know, fourth and four from the 35-yard line, they're lining up for a 52-yard field goal. So I like over 47.5 for longest field goal of the game.
At what price?
At it's even money. That's a -110 both way. These guys have combined for 21 field goals in the playoffs, 21 field goal attempts, and McPherson hasn't missed one. So like they just both of these teams kick a lot of field goals. So they will kick from deep. So that's another prop bet that I have.
Okay, before we let you go, I have a question. Maybe you have to call this, but is it out there that Matthew Stafford is going to throw a fourth quarter pick? Now, that is someone who has been in Bearland for a lot of years, watched the NFC North, and he tried to do it to a former Bear, and Jaquaski Tartt dropped the damn thing. But can you bet on Matthew Stafford throwing a fourth quarter pick?
I would assume so.
But you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You can bet on the coin flip, but not on Matt Stafford throwing a fourth quarter pick.
but you can definitely, like, all right, so let's see here. Matt Stafford interception. Yes is -172 that he will just throw one at any point during the game. And you can throw that. Let's see. You can do that. He will throw the first interception. Oh, but see, they have, will he throw first quarter touchdown, second quarter touchdown, third quarter touchdown, but they don't have that for interception, at least on the site that I'm looking at right now.
Okay.
They should. He had three straight multi-interception games to finish the regular season. Then he only has one in the postseason so far. So sounds like you're on the Bengals, Rosie.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah, the reason I don't bet this because I root for stories and I love Joe Burrow and Evan McPherson. I just love this whole idea that combined they're Joe Namath. They're not guaranteeing it, but they've got such swagger in the whole thing. And I just have seen so much of Matthew Stafford and said he's ripe. The one prediction I'll make is he's going to throw a fourth quarter pick that turns the game around. That's what I think is going to happen. And your point is well made that what the Rams do well is the one thing the Bengals do not do well. And Aaron Donald could turn Joe, you know, separate Joe from Burrow, and it could be all over by then, and it could be the biggest blowout. And we were talking earlier, me and Studs, and Leonard Floyd could be the MVP because Von Miller and Aaron Donald are going to take up so much time. time and space and attention that all of a sudden this guy could end up scoring two touchdowns because they're so dominant.
And I looked it up, plus 13,000 on FanDuel for Leonard Ford.
Yeah, 130-1. Yeah, you know, like,
hey, throw a buck on there, you know? Hey.
Yeah, hey, throw a dollar in there and have some fun. There's no bad bet during the Super Bowl because you're just trying to have it. As long as you don't bet more than you can afford to lose, it's all for fun. I mean, listen, the Bengals story is amazing. There's no question about it. They beat the Raiders by 7. If Ryan Tannehill doesn't have 3 turnovers, they lose that game to the Titans. They lost 7 games in the regular season. I'm not convinced that they're that good.
Dude, I said the same thing at the start of the show. Like, I think they're frauds.
I don't think they're frauds because I think that Burrow's amazing and Jamar Chase is amazing and they have high level talent. Like, I don't think they're frauds.
Maybe frauds not a good word per se, but I just don't.
It's a good talk show host word.
Yeah,
it's a good take.
Yeah, no, I just don't think they're that good, like you were saying.
Yeah, like their body of work over 20 games is above average. They're just on a really nice heater right now, but they absolutely should have lost that Titans game. But Matt Stafford, to Rosie's point, absolutely can put up a game like Tannehill did in that spot. So if he does, right, like Olin Kruetz came on the show and said there's just something about Joe Burrow and he thinks that the Bengals are going to win the turnover margin and so therefore he's taking the Bengals. Like, that's totally fine logic. I just think that what's most likely to happen is the Rams defense will play like the Titans defense, and Stafford will not play like Ryan Tannehill, and therefore the Rams will win.
I think so too, but I'm rooting the other way.
I get it.
I like this. I like the story. I'm all about themes, anyways. Danny, tomorrow 11-1 on the score. Playoff preview. What have you got planned before we let you go?
Yeah, so it'll be a lot of this. But I just basically have been doing these shows, taking calls, but also bringing on some of my friends. So Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1 will be on the show. Ben Heisler from BetSide, it'll be on the show. Might put another person on. But it'll be wall-to-wall Super Bowl coverage, gambling, analysis of the games, getting people's thoughts on it, what the Bears can learn from these two teams, because I think it's how the two teams were built is kind of polar opposites in pretty interesting ways. So, you know, we'll just talk about the Super Bowl for a couple hours.
Well, that's what we've done. That's what we've done now. We'll do it later. Danny, really appreciate you taking time out to join us, and have a good show tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. Anytime, guys. Love listening. Thank you.
All right. That is Danny Parkins, Parkins and Spiegel. Afternoons on the score, 2-6. Tomorrow is part of our massive Super Bowl coverage, wall-to-wall, ear-to-ear coverage, 9 o'clock, 9 to 11, BetQL. You get what you need there. 11-1, Danny Parkins, and you heard his guest list. And then 1 o'clock on Westwood One will bring you Super Bowl coverage right through the end when Evan McPherson makes the game winning kick. I don't know. I just like saying that. That'd be great. I love that guy.
I
love him. All right. So we'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to defer to my nerd co-host, Trash Panda, as we go a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, something worth noting and celebrating.
Oh, and before we break, we need to note that if you were curious about that MLB and MLBPA meeting today, it's already over. It lasted less than an hour. This according to at least one report I saw. So there you go.
Yeah. So and they agreed on what? That Rob Manfred is just a scam artist. Okay.
Yes.
That's it.
Cosign.
All right. This is Saturday Second, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage. And I defer to our resident geek trash panda. Share with us. Back announced that for us.
Was John Williams' birthday this week?
Tuesday. John Williams turned 90 on Tuesday. But I wanted you to back announce the song. There may be people out there who don't realize. I ran into somebody yesterday who not only did not realize that Paul McCartney was in a band before Wings, but didn't know who Paul McCartney was.
Jesus.
So that's why I wanted you to identify
that's an important
the music thing. And then the artist.
That's an impressive level of ignorance.
Yes, it is.
That was the Star Wars main theme. Yes.
John Williams turned 90 today, and he is second in Oscar nominations only to Walt Disney. That befits his status, right?
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah. He's
so he once
extraordinary.
And that was the movies for which he has done. I thought I knew them and you enlightened me. And so Star Wars is the most notable, I'd say.
Yes.
And then you started listing them off and they were all Spielberg. And I said, yeah, sure. Spielberg. Yeah, sure. Spielberg. And it was. List them off for us.
So Jurassic Park, classic.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I'd have to confirm that.
And I'm thinking, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Spielberg, Lucas.
It's basically every major blockbuster in the last 40 years has had John Williams attached doing the score, if it's worth anything. So, yeah, but the one you didn't know, though, and I'm surprised you didn't know this, the first three Harry Potter movies were composed by John Williams.
Did not know that. It just adds to the legend. So I had not come across this before. This was shared by Carl Quintanilla of MSNBC or CNBC. Where is he? Carl, where do you work? Where do you work? You're CNBC and NBC News. So he once told Spielberg, quote, "I really think you need a better composer than I am for this film." And Spielberg very, very sweetly said to him, "I know, but they're all dead."
That's great.
That was during Jurassic Park. How great is that? "I know, but they're all dead." Speaking of...
That's a nice little compliment, though.
Yeah, that's it. So, speaking of Hall of Fame singers, Dolly Parton, did you see... This woman is miraculous, this woman. She is an angel. I'm not sure we all deserve her. She decided she would cover 100% tuition and books for employees at her theme parks, entertainment venues, and cabin resort. You go to college, she'll pay 100% tuition and books.
I'm glad that they do the and books because those things add up.
Yeah.
So even when I was in school, I didn't have to, you know, as a broadcasting major, you didn't have to have a lot of books. But for the non-broadcasting classes, I needed books. And it's ridiculous. And some of I had friends that were English majors or history majors. Like the stuff, the amount of books they had to have is out of control.
Yes. Yeah. And then you go to resell them and go, wait, I paid you like four times this. Yeah, but it's used now. Yeah, but you made me use it. Well, that's the way it is.
You gave it to me used, man.
So I just think, because that's our hope. I mean, education's our hope. It's our future. It's how we get better, how we get out of all this. And I check back in December when, say, Time Magazine names its Person of the Year. See if Time Magazine's Person of the Year did anything better than anything more impactful, anything more future-looking than what Dolly Parton's just said she would do. What Dolly Parton said she would do for her employees at all of her theme parks and entertainment venues and cabin resorts and all that kind of stuff. She's just, this is a woman who had started a library, a free library for kids up until from birth. They would get books from birth until they entered their first year of schooling. And it was a local thing. And in 10 years, it was global. Kids all over the world were getting books until they entered school. Courtesy of Dolly Parton. That's it. Read, people. That's all I got to tell you. Read. We need that. Here's something I read. Michael Farber, that you may know him from Sports Illustrated. I knew him from there, and I know him from way back when he was a columnist at the Montreal Gazette. So he was cited because the Olympics are going on. Do you know the Olympics are going on, Studs?
I did, actually. He's curling on in the studio right now. U.S. is up 2-1 over Norway. Let's go.
Let's go.
Curling, man. Like it's
stone. You go up to Northbrook to watch it, and then curling center.
I do want to try curling sometime, just because I think it's
Canadian shuffleboard is just another way to drink beer.
Well, yeah, and the whole thing is just so. I love just first of all the look of the U.S. team. The one, it's just perfect. It's just perfect because none of the, like half the people don't look athletic. They otherwise
well, they're
would have
not. It's bowling. It's ice bowling. Sweep, sweep, sweep.
It's the everyday man's Olympic sport. Yep. Like anyone can do this.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. So Michael Farber was writing about his favorite Olympic headline because we were speaking earlier about trolling and when you're talking about Brittany Matthews and Jackson Mahomes. So Farber tweeted this out. From his favorite Olympic headline came from Lillehammer in 94. Lillehammer, Norway, for those of you who are unsure. And the headline was, Norway leads with 3 gold medals. Sweden tied with Fiji. It's just trolling at your Scandinavian brethren. I love that. And did you see this from, speaking of Sweden and the Olympics and whatever, Layla Rahimi of the Bernstein or Blamestein, Dan Blamestein and Layla Rahimi. So Layla's covering the Olympics. She's over there. And
Yes. Japan. Doing a damn good job, too.
Yep. And so she tweeted this out at I think it was a women's hockey game. It has to be.
That's what she was doing. That's what she's been mainly doing. So that would sound right.
Right. Well, there's only one hockey game. It's U.S.-Canada. That's it. They're going to play that
twice.
That's
the only one that matters.
They play it in the round robin, and then they play it for the finals. But they have to play other teams along the way. Canada leads Sweden at the point of her. She sent out this text. It's 9-0. It would grow. Jeez. Canada leads Sweden 9-0, says her tweet. And I'm sitting next to a CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, producer, who keeps saying, quote, cancel the postgame show in honor of the Sox, because she's from Chicago and he knows. Layla says, I'm in Beijing, and they're quoting Hawk. I mean, I said Japan.
There's no escape.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know what?
That's actually pretty funny.
The women's hockey story was one of the greatest things I ever covered in my career. Greatest stories I've ever been in, greatest teams I ever covered. And it came back this week, not just because the U.S. women are going to play Canada and they're going to be play for the gold medal, that it finally became a medal sport in 1998. Captain of that U.S. Olympic team was Cammy Granato of the Downers Grove Granados. And the goalie was Sarah Teeting of the North Shore Teetings. And Cammy scored the first goal for the U.S. women in U.S. Olympic play, in which it was a medal sport. Sarah Teeting made a massive pad save with 70 seconds to go in a 2-1 game against Canada. And when the medal ceremonies began, they placed the first Olympic gold medal for women's hockey around the neck of Cammy Granato. Captain goes first. Cammy Granato became the assistant general manager of the Vancouver Canucks this week. The story is a remarkable thing. Her brother, Don, is the coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Her brother, Tony, former NHL star, is a coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. That Olympic with that team, because it was U.S. and Canada, there were 2.5 teams in that women's team. That was 98.
Who's
was
the also half the, team? 2.5 team? Who's
Finland.
The half,
they had Finland? A really good okay. Finland had a really good defenseman and a good forward, but they weren't a match for the U.S. and Canada.
That makes sense then.
So it was right. 2.5 teams. And it was going to be them. And the Canadian coach, there was real enmity in the rivalry. U.S. hadn't beaten Canada in anything important. And the coach of, I forget her name, she had previously worked in security and police work, and she dressed in all black, and the U.S. women called her Dirty Harriet. That's what she was known as. That's Daniel awesome. Something. I want to say Daniel something or other. And there was a terrific rivalry going on, and the U.S. was set to prove, and they won. They won 2-1. And when they won that game in Nagano, and they were celebrating on the ice, and then there would be the medal ceremony, I walked down behind the U.S. net, and I found Don Granato, the dad. And I stood with him for moments and just asked, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? I mean, one of his little girls had just done, you know, a women's miracle, really. Beating Canada in hockey was a women's miracle. And I stood there with him as the medal ceremony went on and just seeing a proud dad's tears come down was made for a wonderful story. I loved covering that team. If you watch NHL coverage, you've seen AJ Molesko. She was on that team. I mean, these are women, these are athletes who went to Harvard. They went to Brown. They went to the Ivy League. And they were terrific to talk to. They were a great story. But that, with, you know, tears coming down dad's face as Cammy Granato was getting her gold medal, it was outstanding. I love that team. And there's something you maybe help me with as you went to study school to study broadcasting. The story from Ian McIntyre in Sportsnet Canada, that it's not a surprise to a lot of people in the Granato family that Cammy would become a pretty high-ranking official and one of the first women to do something like this, assistant general manager of the Canucks. Sister Christy, who lives in Wisconsin, said not even a little bit. Cammy always played with the boys. In fact, I tried for years to get her to play Barbies with me, and she was terrible at it. Okay. I don't know how you're terrible at Barbie. How are you terrible at Barbies?
I guess it's just like not having the patience to imagine. I don't know.
Yeah. So another part of the story is Christy loves telling that story. She was terrible at Barbies. She was always playing with the boys, and that's the way it was. Christy claims that Cammy once called into a weekly sports talk radio show that Christy Granato hosted in Chicago to argue about the Barbie accusation. Do you remember Christy Granato? I don't know what her married name is. Do you remember Christy Granato hosting or co-hosting a weekly sports show in this city?
No.
Me neither. I thought I knew a lot about hockey around here.
Yeah,
and the Granatos.
I don't know. Well, I mean, how many? We unfortunately haven't had a lot of women hosts in Chicago on sports radio. Like, Layla is one of the few.
And Julie Swyka, who suggested Avenue Q for us in our suck roll call.
Yes.
Sucks to be me. It sucks to be me. Yeah, there have not been a lot. But this was a weekly radio show that Christy Granato, she was saying that when Cammy came back from the Olympics, Christy was studying in the medical profession. Christy said when Cammy came back from the from the Olympics, she was hosting hockey schools for girls. And it picked up. Participation picked up. So she said, Christy, here, I need you. Come out here. Here's a roll of white tape, and here's a Sharpie. Write down every girl's name on their helmet, on the tape, and put it on their helmet so I know who I'm talking to. And Christy says, this is why I went to medical school.
There you go.
So she did it, and she went to this. She went to this school. She helped out her sister, and there was a student there, a skater there, who was one of two kids with a single dad or a widowed dad who came down out of the stands afterwards and was just so thankful to Cammy and to Christy for showing girls what they could accomplish. And it turns out Christy married the dad, would eventually marry the dad of one of the kids that Cammy made her write her name on the helmet on the white tape with the black Sharpie. I love all that story. 1998 women's Olympic team remains a wonderful story for me. So there you go. And I was wrong. Jaquaski Tartt did not play for the Bears.
Oh, what the hell, man?
He was pursued by the Bears. He was a free agent, and there was some contact, and I thought, oh, okay, he did that. And then they got rid of him because that's what they do. They didn't. So I was wrong about that.
That's why they call it Saturday Suckage.
Let's underscore the idea this is Saturday Suckage.
We're allowed to be wrong here.
We're encouraged to be wrong. I'm Steve Rosenblum, he's Trash Panda. We are in the missing Mark Grody formation today, but we'll get it back. We'll see who stole the Probasic. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Three technique. It's something. It's a newer type of situation.
And the Bears don't have one. That's Grobber. Welcome in. Welcome back. Three technique. We do need it. We'll have a discussion at a later point in time as we are back on Saturday Suckage in the missing Mark Grody formation. And we need to get the full explanation of the three technique from Grobber as Grody sits in for Grobber on Score overnights and gets crap from texters even when he's been off for a day or two. It's just what Mark heard, what Mark read. So, see, Trash Panda came in today to find some texts excoriating Mark Grody for something that somebody else said, and Grody wasn't even on the air, right?
That's what we can surmise anyway.
Yeah.
He could have been just listening to, I don't know, maybe he had rewound to the night before on the Odyssey app, and, you know, it goes back 24 hours, so he could have been technically listening to 4:30 in the morning 24 hours before, you know?
And we did have one of our texters, one of our Wake and Bake Club members, say that he has responded erratically to, he has texted the Score when he was listening on replay to whatever it was, which is totally out of context. That's the thing. So there are two things that concern you, Trash Panda, on the text line right now. 630 is responding to your idea that about curling and the way it seems so, such a regular guy kind of beer drinking kind of sport.
Yes.
And by the way, the Olympics is a perfect example of where you can separate sports from non-sports. Curling is more of a sport than ice skating. Do you know why?
Why?
Because curling, you actually have a result. In ice skating, it's judged.
That's a good point.
The competitors determine the endings, the results, the outcomes in curling. And if it's judged, it's a hobby. Might be a very difficult hobby.
So you would make the same argument with, say, snowboarding and the other judged.
If it's judged, it's a hobby.
Interesting.
And I would make I would make it with boxing unless you're gonna fight until someone quits or gets knocked out. That's it. Let the competitors decide. So if it's judged, it's not a sport. It's an activity. It's an activity, a hobby. Terrific activity.
I love this take. I'm stealing
it. But it's true. Fine, you can have it, but it's true, and it's not necessarily original. It's just true. All right, and Trash Panda 312 texter. Oh, wait, I should say this first. 630 texter says they should make bags an Olympic sport.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be so great.
Brought to you by Molson.
Well, no, yeah, it's got to be like brought to you by who? Like
Heineken,
or yeah, one of the major hot dog companies, like Oscar
dog
Mayer
companies.
Well, because
that's
you ever
really
watched,
Chicago-ing
do you ever,
it up.
Do you ever watch bags on like when they have it on ESPN? Like, you know, the national tournaments. Usually they have. No, usually they throw it on during the summer when there's nothing else to show.
I can't take the word they use.
Oh, cornhole. Yeah, it's so dumb. I don't know why. It's literally.
I know why, because the bags are filled with corn and you're trying to put it
in. Yeah, I get that, but you're literally throwing bags. So it just.
Bags. Yeah.
Anyway, the sponsors for those events are always just like either Bud or Bud Light or some kind of Oscar Mayer company.
The express lane to cholesterol problems.
It's never just regular, like what the sponsors you would see like for the Olympics and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, might as well. They've had other things that have been that ballroom dancing, I think, was a demonstration sport at one point. And so you can put anything in the Olympics, and you get, as the host country, you get to choose what events, competitions you want to do. And also, how does someone get a nickname 630? How does someone get the nickname Trash Panda?
Because as we discussed much, 2 years ago now? Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I grew up shooting raccoons in my friend's barn.
And we were bringing up raccoons, and you said they're trash pandas, and that's how it ended up like that.
Yeah, they're gross.
And dad still stands in the house, shooter still stands in the house and shoots them.
I haven't heard about him doing that in a while. It doesn't really happen during winter.
Check in with Sweet Alice and report back next week.
All right, I will.
All right, we'll see if we get Grody back next week. If not, we'll just do Saturday Suckage the way we always do. Thanks for listening, texting, and all that kind of stuff. Saturday Suckage on the Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Post.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.